الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I began by praising the Lord of the universe and by asking for peace to descend upon his messenger. I like to read some further verses of the Quran. You have just heard some verses recited by our small brother in Islam, and it was beautiful. Inshallah, I'd like to read some more. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
صدق الله العظيم. Translation of this: Allah, there is no God except Him, the alive, the eternal. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes Him. Unto Him belongs whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is in the earth. Who is he that intercedeth with Him except by His leave? He knows that which is in front of them and that which is behind them, while they encompass nothing of His knowledge save what He will. His throne includeth the heavens and the earth, and He is never weary of preserving them. He is the sublime, the tremendous. There is no compulsion in religion. The right direction is henceforth distinct from error. And he who rejects false deities and believes in Allah has grasped a firm handhold which will never break. Allah is hearer, knower. Allah is the protecting friend of those who believe. He brings them out of darkness into light. As for those who disbelieve, their friends are the false deities. They bring them out of light into darkness. Such are the rightful owners of the fire. They will abide therein. These are the verses of the Quran, which was revealed, sent down to the last prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was 1400 years ago. These are the verses which I just read, which have been faithfully preserved and are contained in what we call today the Quran. My story about how I came to be a Muslim and how I came to this point here is very simple. I discovered Islam through the Quran. It was given to me as a birthday present in 1977 or 76, and this book changed my life. So as our brother has mentioned, some people would look strangely at me or someone like me and say, why on earth did this guy change his faith. First, we must correct that misnotion. I didn't change my faith, I developed my faith. And in fact, that is mentioned in the Quran in another place. It says, the foolish will say, what has made you change your direction from that which we used to face before? So tell them, to God belongs the east and the west, and he guides who he wishes to a straight path. Therefore, I was always on the path seeking light, trying to shed away my ignorance, the path of knowledge, and that path is the path which leads to God. So to God belongs the East and the West. Islam doesn't belong only to Arabs or to the East. We can witness the teachings of Jesus if we want an example. He wasn't born in the West. So therefore, when I read the Quran, I discovered a new religion which before that time I had very little idea about. To me, Muslims and Islam was something to do with ancient civilization, almost synonymous with the pyramids, or with something long time ago which had very little relevance today. This is the age of science, technology, advancement, progress. We've grown up. We don't need religion. I was in that state. True, I was looking at different religions before I read the Quran. But I never found anything that was total or totally acceptable. There were shades of light. But it didn't last long. It came and it went. Difficult to grasp. I tried at some time to be Buddhist. In a way, I was meditating. But in that state of meditation, everything's fine when you are cut off. But when you come back to life, you have to deal with people. You have to deal with your emotions. You have to deal with other people's emotions. So there was very little guidance on these matters, how to live your life fully. I didn't know much about Islam. All I knew was that Muslims were seen, by my father at least, as enemies, because my father was from a Greek origin, from Cyprus. And I used to feel an affinity to things which were Greek, and therefore I almost looked at Muslims as my enemies. What was it that changed my mind, or that opened my mind rather than changed it? It was the Quran. The first thing that I learnt when I read the Quran is I had to abandon my preconceptions, because already I had a prejudice, and I said to myself consciously, before I read it, try to be honest and remove your preconceived ideas. Open your mind. Maybe there's something in this book. You can benefit from it. That was the attitude that I entered into the reading of the Quran with. The first words of the Quran begins with the name of the author. Every book has an author. The Quran begins in the name of Allah, the merciful, the most compassionate. This is how the Quran begins. And then it says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the universe. I never knew that Muslims believed in God. When I first read the Quran, I had some idea it was a little bit like Hinduism. Maybe they believed that Muhammad was like a god. But the moment you start reading the Quran, your ideas change. The more I read the Quran, the more I realized how in harmony it was with what I instinctively believed. Even without being told what Islam is, I was already instinctively feeling in harmony with this message. One God for all people. Well, I kind of knew that there was one God, but it had never been said so clearly. Perhaps the Jews may say, we believe in one God. I've heard it before. And as a Christian, you say you believe in God, but there is also confusion. Because as a Jew, you would think that, yes, I believe in one God, he's my God. And we are his people. As far as non-Jews are concerned, let them have their gods. That was the kind of concept. So, as far as Christianity is concerned, yes, you say you believe in God, and you do. But then when it comes to understanding, who is it? Who is God? Then there comes this confusion that becomes three in one, which cannot be explained. But the Quran is quite definite in this. It says, Allah la ilaha illahu. It says, Allah, there is no God except him. He doesn't have a son. He was not created, and everything is created by him. The more I read the Quran, the more the light began to appear. As I read, I was stunned to find the name of Jesus in the Quran. What does it say about Jesus? It mentions him in so many places. It acknowledges that Jesus was a messenger from God. And it's funny because I always had that feeling too. I never really believed that he was literally to be taken as a son of God. That would be horrendous to think that God engages in such activity. But it says in the Quran that he was created without a father. And there's a chapter in the Quran called Mary. How many Christians know that in the Quran there is a chapter about Mary? Very few, like me. We read in the Quran, I think, more times than any other prophet, we read the name of Moses. Again, a messenger from God. How he came with the pure message and truth and revelation and light to his people, to the Bani Israel. Do you know there's a chapter in the Quran called Bani Israel? Again, all these things are so striking. As it says in the Quran, قُلُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ وَإِسْحَاقُ وَيَعْقُوبُ وَالْأَسْبَاطُ وَمَا أُوْتِيَ مُوسَ وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوْتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحْدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. It says, say to them, we believe in Allah and what has been revealed to us and what was revealed to Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the tribes, and that which was given to Moses and Jesus and all the prophets from their Lord. We make no difference between one another of them, and to him, to Allah, we submit. So this was now, I was beginning to understand the message of Islam. Literally, Islam means submission. There is no religion I know which describes itself so perfectly as Islam. The meaning of Islam from the beginning to the end is in its name, submission, meaning submission to the one and only creator of the heavens and the earth. Submission, Islam. Muslim, the word Muslim comes from Islam. It means one who practices Islam. Muslim, from Islam. Muslim means one who submits, one who consciously submits to the will of God. So then it wasn't difficult for me to understand, as I read on, that all prophets were Muslim. They all surrendered, they all submitted themselves to God's will. And therefore this is not a new religion. It is just the completion and development of God's religion. So I am now a Muslim. It wasn't so difficult, and as I was saying, it wasn't such a change. I haven't changed my faith, I've developed my faith. I now submit to God's will through His message which He sent down in the Quran. What's so strange about someone wanting to bow before God? We must ask ourselves, what's wrong with this time that we live in, if we start to see that people who worship God and bow appear strange to them? I always had an idea what would happen if alien beings came down and saw humankind and said, look at these freaks, strange people cutting each other's throats. True, life is baffling, but one must seek knowledge to discover the meaning to life. We mustn't just look at the facade. Too many people are looking at Islam from the facade, judging it. You'll be maybe surprised to know that Islam, and in the Quran, it mentions that there are other creatures besides mankind and besides angels. There are these creatures called jinn, which reside between the heavens and the earth. This is nothing new to a Muslim. You say, oh, these Muslims are strange, they believe in alien beings. No, it's a fact. Even in the English language, you find that the word jinn has come into the English language. Genius, when somebody is suddenly very inspired, say, wow, where did he get that idea? Quran explains there are creatures or another type of being created who also can influence or try to influence the lives of men or human beings. They interfere. I didn't know that, but instinctively I had some idea that there was such a thing. But Islam clarifies what it is. But we are human, and we have a role on this earth. Our main job or role in this earth, how many people know what they are here for? We would think, if we look, we'd say we are here to eat, drink, enjoy, have children, marry, whatever. But the primary reason that we're here on this earth, as the Quran says, to worship God, to serve Him, to obey His commands. And therefore, He has sent prophets to teach us how to live. The first prophet considered in Islam is Adam. Adam is the first man and the first prophet, and we are all children of Adam. So the Quran explains that the garden, and the test of the garden which was given to Adam, that was a lesson. It was a lesson for us, so that we can permanently keep in mind the lesson that our forefather Adam learned in the garden. What was that lesson that we have to remember? We have to remember God. We have to remember His command, His law. At the time of Adam, it was very simple. Simply, don't eat from that tree. Very simple, cut and dry. But man is weak. Therefore, he succumbed to temptation. This is also part of God's plan, because we are to be tested. Therefore, our purpose on this earth is to worship God and to be tested while doing so. So if we want to know what are God's laws, you certainly can't go to the Pentagon to find out, or to Parliament. You have to go to the source of legislation, which is revelation. And the last revelation we have today is the Quran. So, the Quran can be likened to light. Interesting thing about light, again, I was referring to the fact that the brother said that I changed. The light doesn't change the object. It simply shows it for what it is. It reveals it. You're now able to perceive the thing that you couldn't see before, but it doesn't create it. It simply sheds light and enables you to see it. So therefore, revelation is a form of light which enables you to see the things that you feel and that you somehow believe in, but it gives you more proof, more light. The greatest thing, even beyond light, the gift, is the gift of perception, of sight. Because there could be a light, but you could be blind. And that's a fact. So therefore, sight itself is what we are searching for. True sight and light. I'd like to read some more verses from the Quran called the chapter of the angels. And this is, inshallah, I'll try to read the Arabic, even though I may make some mistakes, but inshallah I'll try first to read the Arabic. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa ma yastawi al-'ama wal basir. Wa la dhulumatu wa la nur. Wa la dhillu wa la al-harur. Wa ma yastawi al-ahya'u wa la al-amwat. إن الله يسمع من يشاء وما أنت بمسمع من في القبور إن أنت إلا نذير إنا أرسلناك بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وَإِنْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَا فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ وَإِنْ يُكَذِّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَبِالزُّبُرِ وَبِالْكِتَابِ الْمُنِيرِ.
صدق الله العظيم.
The blind man is not equal with the seer, nor is darkness tantamount to light, nor is the shadow equal with the sun's full heat, nor are the living equal with the dead. Lo, Allah makes whom He will to hear. Thou canst not reach those who are in the graves. Thou art but a warner. Lo, we have sent thee with the truth, a bearing of glad tidings and a warner. And there is not a nation but a warner hath passed among them. And if they deny thee, so before them also they denied. Their messengers came unto them with clear proofs of Allah's sovereignty, and with the Psalms and the scripture giving light. So therefore, we can deduce from this that there are two kinds of light. One is the physical light, which is a sign, and the other is the spiritual light. And man needs both for his survival. We need the sun for our life on earth, for growth, for all the things that are connected with our life on this earth. We need the sun. But we also need God's light. Otherwise, again, we are doomed. We are possibly blind. As humans, we have this gift. As we are born, we are given truthful hearts, clear hearts, open. But we are also given the intellect. As we grow older, we learn from our surroundings, from our parents. They either teach us the truth, or they teach us how to lie. But we gradually develop our intellect to the point where we can then judge whether our parents, or whether our upbringing, or whether our belief is right or wrong. That is what we call the conscience, or this inner sight, we can then start to evaluate or analyze our life. Now, some people, when they get to this point, they may ignore the light. But ignorance isn't an excuse. If you think that, oh, one day maybe because I haven't read the Quran properly, I didn't read it, no one really told me, and therefore I'll be innocent because I believed everything I was told and I followed a pretty moral life and I didn't do much wrong. But you will be accused, you must be accused of accepting to remain ignorant. That's your conscious decision. Nobody's born with a great brain. I mean, today you have Einstein's brain somewhere pickled in some pot. But that wasn't his brain. It was his soul. It was his conscience. It was his mind that made him investigate. Now, if a person accepts to be ignorant, he has accepted that with full consciousness. If people say it was my surroundings, or it's my friends that influenced me to do these bad things, you accepted to be influenced by those friends. Therefore, what we find is that people choose to be ignorant. They choose to follow the wrong way. And even it says in the Quran that there are some people that if you show them the right way, they will choose a way other than that. They're so obstinate. So, well, this is right, but who wants to be right? Even some people may say, who wants paradise? So, ignorance is not going to be an excuse. And that's when I started reading the Quran, I realized I'm not ignorant anymore. But before that, I was consciously searching. I was in the state of search. So while a person is searching, he is on the way to God, as long as he doesn't give up his search. And then when the light is shown to him, he accepts it. So that, in a way, was my story. From my previous life, if you like, I was an investigator, and I like to investigate and research and look and observe life around me and make notes, musical ones sometimes, and record my thoughts so that I can maybe learn. But when I started to read the Quran, it was as if the plug was pulled out. Everything was there. Everything I was ever dreaming of, clear and pure, the message. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say he is Allah, the One. And Allah is not the name of a God which is different. Let's say the name of a God for the Arabs. Allah is the name of God. Inshallah, we'll read some more verses. Again, this is about the consciousness within man, which God has placed within man. This is called the chapter of the sun. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس ودحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. صدق الله العظيم. Says, by the sun and its brightness, and the moon when it follows him, and the day when it reveals him, and the night when it enshrouds him, and the heaven and him who built it, and the earth and him who spread it, and a soul and him who perfected it and inspired it with conscience of what is wrong for it and what is right for it. Indeed, he is successful who causes it to grow, and he is a failure who buries it. In these verses, God brings our attention to the signs which are around us. These signs are there for us to consider and to think and ponder. The sun is a sign of God. The moon is a sign. The day is a sign. The night, the sky and the earth are all signs. But another sign it then mentions, one which we must acknowledge equally, the soul and the balance of it, and the awareness of the right for it and the wrong for it. And it continues, he is successful. In other words, he is truly going to win who purifies his soul, tries to keep it in a stage of development. And it says, he is a failure who buries it, who retards his growth, his soul. So therefore, every human being will be asked, what did you do with your life? What did you do with your health, with your wealth, with your time? And every human being will have its own record. As it says in the Quran, that no soul can bear the burden of another soul. There's no transferring of credits. There's no credit card. So, therefore, the Quran gives us direction for the highest goal. Now, very important, after I read the Quran, it took me about a year to absorb the basic message of the Quran. After a year, I had developed my inner sight. I'd become a little bit more humble. Sure, at that time I was a singer and I was doing and asking my agent to get me the biggest hall and the best money and the best years. But at the same time, I was now developing my conscience. I was coming down to size. I realized that I cannot guide myself. Even with all the wealth and the fame, I knew that ultimately I have no control over my life. Even the talent which I was given, I was born with it. Therefore, as somebody said, he knows that there must be a God. Why? Because whenever he makes a plan and it doesn't work out, he knows that someone else must have made the plan. So therefore, as you travel through your life and you notice that things don't exactly happen the way you want them, you have to come to the question, who is making things happen the way that he wants them? The answer is, you must come into contact with the will of God. So, coming into contact with the Quran and the message of the Quran, I had to make a decision. Either I was going to try and drive my own spiritual vehicle to where I didn't know, or I was going to take the easy convenience of accepting the will of God as revealed in the Quran. And that's really what the Quran is. It's a revelation of what God wills, to show us what is right and what is wrong. When it said, for instance, that you should give up or that you should abstain from alcohol, I didn't need to be told that alcohol was bad for me. I knew that. And I knew how many hangovers I'd had from drinking. And how many times I woke up in the morning and said, oh, what did I say? What a fool I made of myself. I realized that the Quran was giving me nothing but good advice. So it was quite a decision. Because on the one hand, I had my whole career, I had my whole lifestyle, I had my whole culture, even my own following, in a way. And to give up that and say, look, I know nothing, I follow God, was quite a step. But it enabled me to be myself, and that wasn't difficult, because Islam is not changing, as I said, your identity or adopting something drastically different. You just develop what is already good. So I decided in 1977 to become a Muslim, and at that time it was winter, and I went to the mosque and I saw the imam, the prayer leader, and I said, I want to become Muslim. He didn't know me from anybody, and I didn't care. I just wanted to be a Muslim. And I embraced Islam in 1977. And you know how you become a Muslim. You might think there's some strange ceremony or incense and all this kind of thing. But actually, he simply said, or I was asked, do you believe that there's only one God? I said, yes. Do you believe that Muhammad was his messenger? Yes. So, okay, repeat after me these words: Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Meaning, I bear witness, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad was his servant and his messenger. And I was a Muslim. Simple as that. How many people actually in here are ready to accept that within your own conscience? It's easy. But what we find is there's lots of pressure to tell us, no, don't do that, don't be foolish, you'll lose all your friends, you'll lose all your position, you'll lose. Whereas Allah says, you'll gain. Eternally you'll gain. Forget this world. This we know is lost. As it says in the Quran, one very short chapter, says, verily by time all people are in loss. The moment we're born, we begin to die. So therefore this world is finished. What is your preparation for the world to come, the life to come? So therefore it wasn't difficult, and it was so easy. Now all I had to do was to start to learn Islam and start to practice. I didn't know what was held in store for me exactly, but because I'd read the Quran, I knew it was basically one thing: just conform your life to what God wishes, whatever it involves. But I found that Islam doesn't forbid good things. You're supposed to go to the mosque on Friday. I used to stop work. I told everybody in my office, you must stop work, this is Friday, you mustn't do anything. And then I was told by my Muslim brothers, who said, no, you just go to the mosque. You can do what you want on Friday, you do your business, no problem. So I found that it was very easy. There was no concept of Sabbath. It just simply means that when you are doing your work, you should try to remember God. And there is something institutionalized for that. Prayer throughout the day. You pray at certain times of the day so that you don't lose your contact with God, no matter what you're doing. It doesn't mean that you have to go and become a monk. Unfortunately, I think in Rolling Stone, and this man is responsible for Rolling Stone at the moment, he's the only one in here who represents Rolling Stone, they printed something about me being a Buddhist. Some Buddhist now have become a Buddhist, living somewhere in the Himalayas, I don't know. That's a concept which we have when someone becomes kind of devoted. But Islam says something else. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, marry, because marriage is my way of life. And in another saying he said, marriage is equal to half the religion. Meaning that you take part in life. You don't consider yourself here as a loner, individual only. You are responsible, first to your parents, secondly you're responsible to get married and raise a family if you can. So I got married. I now have 5 children. Alhamdulillah, 4 girls and 1 son. So I have come out of that previous darkness. I've come out into the light, also indicating that I'm not hiding anything. I've got no reason to hide anything. So what I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking quite openly and frankly. And inshallah we'll have a chance for some questions also, and we hope some answers. But in this light I have no fear. As it says in the Quran, when God sent Adam to earth after his mistake, after this lesson, that get down from here. But if there comes to you guidance from me, and whoever follows my guidance, no fear shall come upon them, neither shall they grieve. That is a promise to all children of Adam, that when God sends guidance, if you follow that guidance, you have no fear. So I end inshallah with a verse of the Quran, which is called the verse of the light, and it's in the chapter called Light. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب كوكب دري يوقد في شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضاء ولو لم يمسسه النار نور على النور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم. صدق الله العظيم. Yes, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The similitude of His light is as a niche wherein there is a lamp. The lamp is in a glass. The glass is, as it were, a shining star. This lamp is kindled from a blessed tree, an olive neither of the east nor of the west, whose oil would almost glow forth of itself, though no fire touched it. Light upon light. Allah guides unto His light whom He wills. And Allah speaks to mankind in allegories, for Allah is knower of all things. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmeen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Peace be with you.
Takbir means praise to Allah, the Lord of the universe. Before I request brothers and sisters sitting here to have their questions, I would like to make an announcement, and that is we have the copies of Al-Quran Al-Kareem with English translation available. Our non-Muslim brothers and sisters, whosoever likes to take a copy, is free outside on the stall. We would like to have them. When they leave the hall, they can pick up their copy. Also with that, we have other Islamic literature, basic information for that. So you can get it from book service, whatever you like. I would like to request the brothers and sisters to have the questions, whatever they have in their mind. We had a loudspeaker set there. Any brother and sister who want to raise the question on the loudspeaker can come up by raising their hand so that I could recognize. Also, you can write question on a piece of paper, and some of the volunteers can pick up that question and bring it to the stage. We'll have 30 minutes for the question and answers. We will limit the questions and answers to 15 to 20 minutes. Because Brother Yusuf al-Islam has to fly back to London. So immediately we are going to start without any... Yes. You want to come to the... Yes. Telephone.
Allah means the name of God. When you read in Arabic Bibles name of God, it will say Allah. If you know Aramaic, the language which Jesus spoke, I have an Aramaic Bible translation from Aramaic. And it puts in the front there that the name God in Aramaic is Allah. The name of Jesus in Aramaic is Ishu. The name of Jesus in the Quran is Isa. So again, showing you that these terminologies are all one, and Allah is the name of God. But of course God is, I think, comes from the German, most probably, Gott. God knows best. Here is, why cannot your singing develop in the same way as your faith? Isn't it God's work to use the gift of God has given you to continue to shed and bring light to his people? Well, firstly, we should make absolutely clear there are no more prophets and no more messengers. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last messenger. Reason for that, people may say, why Prophet Muhammad the last messenger? Because we could deduce that as we have the Quran with us today in its perfect form, as it hasn't been changed, unlike previous scriptures which have gone through some process of change, sometimes distortion. So therefore the Quran is confirming whatever existing of previous scriptures, just to clarify the message. But it hasn't been changed since it was revealed. Therefore, there's no more prophets or messengers to come. Also, the example of the Prophet himself, even though you read in the Quran that you should pray, the Quran doesn't tell you details exactly how to pray. So for that reason, we have what is called the Sunnah. Sunnah of the Prophet, the way of the Prophet, how he acted, how he behaved, how he prayed. And so if you see how Muslims pray today, you'll see we all pray the same way, the way that the Prophet prayed. But you won't find that in the Quran. That you will find in the books called Hadith, or traditions which are passed down to understand what the Prophet did and said, apart from the revelation, the Quran. Now, as far as singing is concerned, I was always, before I was Muslim, I was careful. Every record I made, I would be more and more careful and drive musicians mad. But in a way, I carry the same characteristic in Islam. As a Muslim, I'm careful. I try not to make mistakes. So, therefore, music, as it appears today, because it's so mixed up with making money, with, let's say, a loose lifestyle, a style of life which is contradicting Islamic values. So therefore I decided to extract myself from such situation. Based on the saying of the Prophet, leave that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. If you take that as a general rule, then, because the Quran doesn't say music is forbidden, you don't find that. Music isn't forbidden. But the conditions of music and the rules about how music is to be used in our life, they're very detailed. And in fact, Muslim scholars have been arguing since day one, after the Prophet ﷺ, there's been great arguments about the position of music and great discussions about it. So I decided to follow the advice of the Prophet, leave that which makes you doubt for that which doesn't make you doubt. Now what doesn't make you doubt is leave it alone until you know better. At this time, I have left a long enough gap between me and my musical past, but I still have no inspiration. I don't feel like I want to go back and make music. At the same time, I'm being constantly asked to do something. So I'm forcing myself to do at least something for the children, as I'm involved in education and Muslim education. We have a primary school in London. So I'm helping to try and finish a record for children. I have written a poem called A is for Allah, and I've written another one called Afghanistan, Land of Islam. But again, I'm not serious about it. I do it as a kind of a natural thing which I can't help doing sometimes. And these are not sold really commercially, even though we may package them later and use the profit for something we hope worthwhile. But therefore I'm not using music as a carrier of the message of Islam. I believe, first of all, by my I'm making a long one about out of this answer, right? But I just tried to say that I believe that the silence, as I think Paul Simon said it once, sound of silence or something, but there is a message which comes up when I don't sing, equally powerful to any message I could say. In other words, I reject that lifestyle, and it makes people think. If he's so convinced about this, there must be something in it. Therefore, it entitles and it leaves the person themselves to investigate Islam and not be, blared at, preached at. It leads people to come for themselves to study Islam, and I hope that a lot of people have, and inshallah will do that.
Well, we have quite a number of questions, and I don't know how many questions he could be able to answer. One is very related to the question he answered, and that is, do you use your God-given gift to teach for the word through song? Your song touched and guided my youth. And very related to that is, why are the verses of Quran sung instead of simply recited? Brother Yusuf al-Islam.
Yes, I think we've dealt with the first question. The second question is, it's an order from the Prophet. He said, beautify the Quran with your voice. So it's actually, you should do it. And even he said that he who doesn't beautify the Quran with his voice is not one of us. So therefore the beautification of the Quran with the voice is in a way compulsory, the learning of the rules of the recitation. When you learn the rules of recitation, it is meticulous. There are perfect timings, stops, elongations, and so many things concerned with the science of reading the Quran, which is so beautiful, alhamdulillah, if you study it. So that's why, because we're ordered to beautify the Quran with the voice.
There is a question, is there some punishment for those who do not conform to the will of Allah?
I'm sorry, I failed to mention the punishment side of it. I was foolish not to, because of course there is two sides to this. One is the acceptance and the reward for acceptance of following hidayah or guidance. The other is the punishment. So today we had a question, because in the Quran it mentions clearly there is the garden and there is the fire. This is the reality. Here we are living together, but in the next world there is going to be a separation between those who are the dwellers of the garden, those who are the dwellers of the fire. So one question came, how come God is so merciful